Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and on this episode, I'm going to be speaking to Casper Brandy Peterson. Casper's the creator of companies and clothing. Labfresh is what we'll be talking about today. So Labfresh, you might have seen these guys already on the thumbnails of Bloomberg and YouTube, people throwing wine at garments and it just poof, bouncing off like bullets on Batman's suit. So Labfresh, let me read off the little blurb here. Labfresh fights fast fashion by using technology to make a new generation of life-proof menswear. Premium cotton shirts that repel stains and odour. Buy less, wash less, wear more. Okay, so we'll get into that interview shortly. In the meantime, make sure you're heading over to menswearstyle.co.uk. That's where we'll put all the show notes from this interview. Plus, links to articles on fashion, obviously. Travel, not so much anymore. Competitions, etc. That's all over at Menswear Style. Make sure you're following us on the social. That way we'll keep you updated when we post new articles, new podcast episodes, whatnot. Menswear Style, just type that into your smartphone. We'll come up. Lastly, if you want to get in touch with the show, maybe you want to talk about your brand, it's info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay. Here is that interview with Casper Brandy Peterson, co-founder of Labfresh. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce Casper Brandy Peterson, co-founder of Labfresh. How are you doing today, Casper?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on. Casper, let me ask you, whereabouts are you in the world?
I am in Amsterdam right now. I'm originally from Copenhagen and I moved here 7 years ago.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the home of James Bond, the Diamonds Are Forever. I'm sure you're aware. On a more timely note, Casper, for the uninitiated, can you give us a thumbnail sketch of who you are and how you got to start Labfresh, please?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of a longer story, but I moved here to start my first business, which was a personal shopping service for men. We had a crazy ride with a lot of venture capital and a lot of people. And when we sold it in 2016, I had to move to Berlin. And I was sitting there together with my favorite colleague and my girlfriend at the time. And we started looking into all these nice technologies that we saw in sportswear and in the Danish army. And we thought, let's try to put this into normal fashion clothing. And yeah, that's basically what we did in 2017, putting it on Kickstarter with the video we made in our apartment. And yeah, that went viral. And now we have a real business.
Dip into the Kickstarter campaign. Why was this such a success? What do you put that down to?
It's always hard to say. I think there was this authenticity to the campaign, because originally we were just bored in Germany. Some guys took over the company and I didn't have to work that much. And then it was just a passion project. And we just wanted to drive around in a van and look in and live in nature parks and run a business from our laptops.
Right.
So we weren't really trying to sell that hard. But then it went viral. Lab Bible and Vice magazine and a lot of media picked it up. And then, yeah, people were buying into it because of that. On Kickstarter, people just want to help passionate entrepreneurs.
Yeah, no, it's a great place to go. But it seems like such rarefied air that you hear great success stories coming from Kickstarter. So I'm always curious to know what that magic ingredient is when people do succeed. So what were your goals, like your financial goals for it to start with?
We set a minimum goal of just 20,000 euros. That was what we needed to start the first batch production in Portugal. Then it's also important to say that I, of course, had a business before within e-commerce that became quite big. So I know how to scale and online marketing and so on. And that was not probably a part of why it would blow up.
Mm. And what business was that?
That was a personal shopping business. It was called The Cloakroom. And it's sort of similar to what you have in the UK that's called Threat.
Oh, yeah.
Threat.com.
Okay. So this was more of a lateral move for you to get into garments and specialize in your own brand.
Yeah, it actually came from this annoyance of how a lot of brands were being run. Whenever I was excited, I was doing the buying, and we were buying from Paul Smith and Hugo Boss and Tommy Hilfiger and so on with The Cloakroom. And when I was speaking to these guys and I was excited about new technology, they really didn't care about it. They just wanted to keep making nice designs and seasonal collections. And that deeply annoyed me because, yeah, I have this ingrained belief inside of me that you can use technology to make almost anything in the world better. So if you can create clothing that you wash less and that will last for many years, then you buy less clothing also. That's good for your wallet, but it's also good for the whole planet. Yeah. And the only one it's not good for is the fashion industry. And I don't care about the fashion industry.
Because it doesn't fit their narrative of wanting to sell more clothes, right? I mean, as soon as you move away from that element of, oh, this can actually help you in the long run by buying less clothes and just making the ones more sustainable, the ones that you have, then that kind of defeats the purpose for them.
Yeah, that was what astounded me in the beginning when we tried to sell these type of technologies to existing brands, that they were not interested because it would mean that a loyal buyer of Hugo Boss shirts would buy 5 shirts a year instead of 10 or 15. And that's, of course, bad business.
Yeah. And what is the technology exactly? So I'm just going to paint the picture a little bit, if you don't mind, Casper, for what people might have already seen. I'm sure they've already seen online. On your website and through YouTube, Bloomberg articles, you'll see men dressed in either very dark navy blue polos or white shirts, and they're having pints of milk and red wine thrown all over their garments. And it's almost like some kind of Kevlar. It's just bouncing off them. So explain to me some of the technology that we're using in these garments and why we haven't seen this technology incorporated before.
Yeah, so first to say is that we don't hold patents. So we only use existing technologies. We bundle different textile treatments together. And then we have the exclusive rights to that treatment mix. And we do that in Switzerland, where they are really great at this stuff. It's obviously not a cheap place to make fabric, but it's a cheap place to develop new versions all the time. Whereas if we do it in China or something, then you make one fabric and you stick with that for a long time. And there's nothing special about the fabric in itself. It's just cotton. Sometimes with a bit of stretch, but just cotton. It's mainly about treating the fibers so that they close off for other fluids without compromising on the breathability.
Okay, that's interesting. And so how long has this been around for, and how come it's not been installed in garments before this?
So I would say that any brand with a decent amount of resources and commitment would be able to get this kind of technology up and running within 1 year. Wow. The issue is that it makes it a lot more expensive to produce, and it's a lot more complicated in the supply chain because you have to go back and select your own grace fabric and cotton fibers and so on. And, right. And most fashion brands, they will just buy fabric through their supplier. They will never go to a mill or go to a cotton farm. Mm. So, and then it just takes a long time to produce. And at the same time, when you then pay more to make a shirt, and people will buy less per year because they will look good for longer, then it just doesn't make sense for an established brand to push it.
I just don't think they're seeing the big picture here, Casper. I mean, I'd love to go to some of these parties where we're all sitting around a dinner table just throwing stuff at each other like some kind of Greek wedding. Imagine those videos going viral.
Oh, that's exactly why it was like a Lad Bible and Vice and so on, these kind of media picking up because they thought it was hilarious to throw stuff on our shirts. I also still think that's fun.
Okay. I mean, it kind of sells itself really just through that USP, doesn't it? I mean, my only, I wouldn't even call it a concern, but if I was in your shoes starting up a company with this kind of ethos, how would I be able to introduce a new brand to the market with a price point that would justify a new brand, if that makes sense? Obviously, people are willing to pay money for recognized brands. Some people are. But new brands, typically, when they have a slightly more increased price point, is always that reticent because they don't have the established loyalty brand. Does that make sense?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. You always have to provide an extra value so that you justify this switch. And especially for men, they are incredibly loyal to brands they have. You know, they, men would stick with their Nokia phone for a very long time and so on. And they will buy their Levi's 501 every year, 10 years in a row. So, yeah, in our case, we offer them the opportunity to, you know, wear the same shirt for 5 days in a row. And once you get into that conformity, what can you say, that it just makes life a lot easier that you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear every morning.
Yeah. Casper, I want to know about your time on Dragon's Den. I am hooked on that TV show. Can you tell me about how it all worked? They approached you, you approached them. What was the process?
Yeah, well, my girlfriend slash co-founder and I have been watching every season of Shark Tank in the US, and we love it. Mm. So we actually first did it, the Danish version of Dragon's Den, in 2018. And then last week we did it in the Netherlands. And both times it has just been incredible, because people, instead of seeing a brand or Facebook ad, they see Casper and Lotte, two actual authentic people who are putting all their time and personal savings into a project. It has been blowing up with more than 65,000 people going to the website and, thousands of orders. And, yeah, it's just insane. We just sit on the live chat every evening until bedtime and talk to customers.
So cool. So the British version, did they come to you? Did you go on the British one, or was it the Shark Tank, the US one, that you went on?
No, we went in the Danish version of Dragon's Den and in the Dutch one, 2 years between.
I see. And what did they offer you at the end, or did they offer you anything?
Yes, we in both shows, the Dragons liked our products and gave us an offer, and we took the deal in both shows.
Nice.
In the Dutch one that we did last week, it was from two Dragons. One of them is actually my age, 34 years old, and she's called Nikki Pleasant, and she has a brand called Nikki, which is very, very big and successful. So, you know, it's quite a privilege to be able to pitch in front of someone like that.
And how are your nerves? Because I always try and put myself in the boots of the people doing the pitches. I've got very little experience of talking in front of people. I'm okay behind a microphone where no one can see me. I've got the privilege of the editing facilities, but actually getting in front of people, in front of cameras, how did you prepare for that?
Yeah, I would love to say that I was this stone cold pitcher with no problems, but the reality is that they make it really uncomfortable. Like that, there's this music in there, and then you stand behind a curtain, and then there's a red light blinking, and when you walk down the staircase, and these five multi-millionaires are looking at you. Yeah, it's hard not to be uncomfortable. And then what people don't realize is that you're in there for an hour, even though in the TV program it looks like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And for that 1 hour, in the beginning they're really tough on you, and they make you feel uncomfortable, and they criticize a lot of what you do. And then they nice and slowly shift into praising you a lot and being crazy nice. At least that's how it was for us. So then you go from feeling really uncomfortable because you think they don't like you to being very humbled because they say such nice things.
Right. They take you through the emotional roller coaster by the sound of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like a real TV program.
Yeah. Well, it's also they're trying to, I guess, be a bit disarming, you know, trying to be, you know, overly scrutinizing when they perhaps don't need to be, and then lure you into a false sense of security, be nice, and then really lump something on you.
Yeah. But also, it's not like, if you look at how our company was doing in our first year, because we were lucky to go viral, the numbers are quite extraordinary for revenue and so on. So on paper, it just looks like, what the hell happened here? Which gives us a lot of confidence when we talk to investors.
Can anyone else invest now? Casper. The reason why I asked that is because I interviewed a gentleman for his company called Just Wears. It's a underwear brand. He did something similar. He went through the Kickstarter campaign, almost followed your trajectory, went on Dragon's Den. And through his website, you can actually now become a part of his journey and invest and be part of the brand. Is there anything that you have that's open to the public like that?
We have been considering it because we actually did take a couple of angels in who were just customers. But yeah, we took €1 million in now in investments. And, you know, it is Corona times and so on. But we also have some public funding to do our research from MIT and MBBSO here in the Netherlands. So yeah, I don't think necessarily more money would make us happier right now.
Okay, and you touched upon COVID-19. How has that affected supply chains? How has that affected demand? What kind of ramifications are we seeing here?
Yeah, well, we call it the biggest roller coaster ride of our career so far, because it's just so extreme. First, there was just a drop, and for 2 weeks there was barely an order in the store. And that never happens across all the countries, right? We no country is more than 25% of our revenue. So it's just spread all over, and then everything just stops. And then we have no idea tomorrow are we going to do 10,000 euros or 1 euro. And then after a little while, the rebound starts. And now because of Dragon's Den, it's a big rebound. And then, then it looks better than ever. So it seems like people were a little bit nervous. But now, because they prefer to buy online, it's good for us because we only sell online.
Interesting.
I can see that people do expect deals. So we normally never do discounts, and now we did a few discounts for 2 weekends.
Right.
And that's probably necessary now to survive as a brand.
Yeah. And also to offer people something, I guess, in times like these. You know, something to give back, I guess, to the fashion community is always nice.
Yeah, and then as an entrepreneur, I have always been an aggressive young man, you know, not that young anymore, but I always wanted to grow really hard. That's why I've been raising a lot of venture capital for my businesses. And this year, I have to accept that we probably only grow very little. Mm. Maybe we grow 5%. And as a startup founder, that feels horrible. But then I have to shift my mindset and say, hey, we're going to make a profit this year. I have been unprofitable for 7 years in a row. So now I'm excited about making the first profit of my career.
Nice. How old are you, Casper?
Yeah, I'm 34.
Okay, so that's no age at all. I mean, you've still got another 3 or 4 marriages in you. You know, it's by no means over.
I can't do that anymore. You know, I'm marrying my co-founder. You know, it's intense. I can't really go anywhere.
So what's next for the brand? I mean, what are we going to be doing now with the new investments? What can you see happening?
So I very much believe that the only way to come out stronger from a crisis is to act on the opportunities in front of you. And this crisis is also full of a lot of opportunities. And some people will get a little bit annoyed when I say that. And I also get it. And, you know, my mom lost a job and a lot of my friends. And we also had to fire 2 people that were really good performers. So, yeah, but I have to look at the opportunities. So to me, that is retail stores. There's a lot of empty stores around Amsterdam and Copenhagen now. I think we can get some really nice short-term contracts. So we want to open stores in some prime locations, starting in Amsterdam and hopefully also Copenhagen.
That is fascinating. Yeah. Do you know what? I've been weirdly and I suppose a bit macabrely trying to get into that mindset as well. I heard a phrase, I think it's a political phrase, that never let a good crisis go to waste. So when there is something
yes.
that's happening, I mean, as horrible as this, there's always some angle in where you can perhaps, you know, boost the business and again benefit your investors and everyone else's life around you, right? So, and no one likes seeing empty stores. Who likes seeing empty bricks and mortar? Not me.
Exactly. And you can get really nice short-term contracts now, I feel. Normally you have to sign for 5 or 10 years for an attractive location, and now maybe we can get a 2 or 3 year contract.
Yeah, and I bet, speaking from experience in these sort of things, you can probably get good negotiations on rates, overheads, so everything else thrown in. So, yeah, no, good luck.
Yeah, and then another thing is that this is a good time to reflect on what kind of company that we want to have. right? Mm. And I feel like we were pretty innovative with company culture. We took the whole team of 13 people to Bali last summer. And then we work in an office in the rice field for a month. Huh. And we surf in the morning and we get a lot of work done, but we also bond and have fun. Oh. And, you know, we have a very creative office on our favorite canal and so on, combined with the showroom. But the fact is we still sit in the same office around the same table 5 days a week from 9 to 6. And I don't really need that. So now we will cancel the lease and then we will sit in various stores. Mm. We will work from home. We will sit in Soho House 1 or 2 days a week. And then, yeah, we try to have a much more outside of the box office culture than we have had in the past.
I think there's going to be a lot of businesses shifting their template around now as well, seeing how well it works with people working away from the office. I always say, just look, the underline is as long as everybody's working and they hit deadlines, they can take a couple of hours off if they need to and walk the dog, what have you. But, you know.
And I don't care how many hours you work, as long as you get a lot of shit done.
Yeah.
And then 1 week you might work less and the sun is shining and you relax. And other weeks I will need you in the weekend and late in the evening. And then you do that too.
And I think the people that do take advantage will soon get found out because, you know, when deadlines aren't hit for the first couple of excuses, then you go, oh, this was the guy that didn't get up until 10 a.m. Gotcha.
Yes, we offer people 6 months contracts. So the first three contracts you get from us, it's for six months. Hmm. And if it doesn't feel 100% right, then it's better to stop. And after three contracts, you can get an indefinite contract.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's good incentivization. I love the Bali thing. I mean, I'm actually supposed to be out there right now. I had to cancel my trip. We were gonna go hang out with some Komodo dragons. It was gonna be a whole 2 to 3 week backpacking tour, and I don't know when that's ever gonna happen again. But
well, the scene there is really wild. In Ubud and Chengdu, there are so many co-working spaces and thousands of digital nomads, and everyone are sitting and working on their own online businesses. And I find it really inspiring.
Mm. Yeah, and the food's great as well. Yeah. I've seen.
Yes, yeah. And this year we want to go to South America for a month. We want to do it every year for 1 month to do a remote trip.
Oh, wow.
Because why not?
Casper, where do I sign up?
Leffers.eu.
I can throw some wine on some clothes, no problemo.
Yeah. It's not so hard. And shoot it with your phone and you got an Instagram app.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Listen, Casper, I've really enjoyed speaking to you. The website, labfresh.eu, is the place that people should be heading and really just fall down a couple of rabbit holes. There's some great content on there. You can learn all about the technologies, the sustainability, as well as the clothes and the garments looking pretty cool and fresh as well. And it has this very a wardrobe for life, as in the garments aren't ostentatious with big huge graphic logos on the front. So these are garments that kind of serve over time, you know, they can uniformly sit in pretty much any occasion.
It's like a minimalistic Scandinavian design. That's the only thing we touch. We are very much inspired by Tiger of Sweden and Philippa K and Samsø and these kind of Scandinavian brands.
Yeah, the minimalism, that was the word I was groping for. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll edit that word in later as my own. Brilliant. Okay, Casper, I'll let you go, but thanks again for taking time out of your day.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Brilliant. Casper Brandy Peterson there. Thank you, Casper. Labfresh.eu is the place to go and check out those amazing futuristic garments. That's it from me. Thank you all for listening. Make sure that you're liking, subscribing. You're smashing the like button, as those kids say. It does help us, in all seriousness. Leave a review. Tell a friend and all that gubbins. In the meantime, info@menswearstyle.co.uk is the place if you want to send us a message, if you want to get in touch, maybe be on the show. So until next time, remember, it's only fashion, people, and you're never fully dressed without a smile.